Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Business lessons from someone in the executive suite, but a little bit different teacher this time. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is September 13th, 2013. Thanks for joining us today. We are beginning our speed review here for the month of September. And like many of our speed reviews, it focuses on business. And in the past, we've had books that have been written by CEOs and upper management types. But I really like this article that we're talking about today and tomorrow because it comes from somebody I think many of us can identify with far more than CEOs or the top head honchos in the business world. This is actually somebody that does things just like we do on a daily basis. And so that's what I think it will, why I think it will really resonate with all of you. So I'm glad you're here. And I'm also glad to have our panelists here in the studio today. Off to my right, very special panelist joining us, Doris Brohm.
Hi, Bill. It's nice to be here in the class. And you notice you talked about the special executive assistant, and it happens to be a woman.
Yes, it is.
But I've never heard of her before, Roseanne Badowski.
Well, most people have not heard of Roseanne Badowski, and that's the beauty of this, because she's not a big famous person who has sought the celebrity spotlight, right?
But she's very important, and they say behind every successful man is a good woman, and that's possible.
Oh, I think it's definitely possible. History has shown that, and I think behind all top people, they all have good lieutenants and good assistants, and it's impossible to be a successful person at the top without good assistants, right?
Right.
Yeah. Now, also joining us is Josh Mooney. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Great. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here, Josh. Now, we were talking before the program. You've never had an executive assistant.
No, but I've seen them up close, and I've known a few, and I think they do have a very interesting balance they need to play between manager and employee.
Well, Bill, what I was wondering, you know, Josh had his own company. How did he get along with an executive assistant? That's what I'd like to know.
It's called a wife.
Yeah, that's right. His wife's a lawyer. That much to help.
Instead of executive assistants, I would have interns. And okay. I would have two or three interns, and I would assign secretarial-type duties across the three of them. Yeah. And they were definitely important in my success in business.
You have to have some assistance, really.
And I didn't think I was in the office enough because I was always on the road so much that it didn't seem fair to not be there in person with someone who's so crucial to your business.
Mm-hmm. Well, whether you're here in Taipei or if you're in New York or Los Angeles or London, you probably have been around businesses where the boss, the top boss, has an assistant, maybe a couple of assistants, executive assistants, and you've probably noticed how they operate. There is a special way for an executive assistant to operate. They have to play many roles. They're not just somebody that types out letters, right, Josh?
No, they're definitely more than a secretary. And they're more than just the gatekeeper. Mm-hmm. That's the phrase we use a lot in business to say that they're the person that guards the schedule of the CEO, which is certainly important, but it's not the only thing they do.
Well, I think what is also helpful for all of us to learn from this, while this is an article about a book that this Roseanne Badowski wrote, we all are executive assistants.
Right.
And so I look at my role here at Studio Classroom and I'm not just saying this to flatter Doris, but I consider myself an executive assistant in that I need to think about the business, and I also have to think about the people above me and their priorities. So I just can't think about my own little world, and so I have to see where what I do fits in.
Like you said, Bill, everybody does that in the company. Mm-hmm. They're all helping each other, and that's what they call teamwork.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's all about teamwork, and so this is a great example, and I hope you have got your highlighter out. We've got some great terms in here, some great idioms to discuss over the next couple of days, so and some valuable lessons. So let's get into our reading. We'll break it down into two sections today. They're on page 24.
Lessons from Jack Welch's Executive Assistant. Maintaining energy, admitting mistakes, and more are important parts of an assistant's role. While Roseanne Badowski was the executive assistant to Jack Welch at General Electric for 13 years, she learned many intense lessons about managing her manager. She did such a good job with her boss, a man whom Fortune magazine named as one of the top 10 toughest bosses in America, that he took her with him as his principal lieutenant and chief of staff at his private consulting firm when he retired in 2001. While at GE for more than 25 years, Badowski learned many crucial techniques for solving problems, developing opportunities, and navigating successfully through the work week. Throughout her book, Managing Up, she offers many ways managers can build effective working partnerships and uses straightforward language and colorful examples of how they worked for her.
Okay, lessons from Jack Welch's executive assistant. Now, first, let's discuss who was Jack Welch.
Well, he was the former CEO of GE, or General Electric, and took that company and grew it actually 4,000% over the course of his, I think, 13-year career.
Right. It was 1981 to the year 2001.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Now, what does our deck say, Doris?
Well, it says that you have to maintain energy. So maintaining your energy and admitting mistakes are more important parts of an assistant's role.
Okay.
So you've got to keep your energy going.
All right. Well, that is so important. Right off the bat, the energy part. Right? Because I know you, Doris, you look for people that have some life, right?
I still try to maintain my energy.
Oh, you sure do.
You have your energy, so.
I've never seen it not maintained.
Yeah.
But
not
that's
only
important,
is it important energy to get your job done, what kind of message does that convey if you have or don't have energy?
Well, you think it's important enough to do. If a person doesn't have any energy, then you think, well, that's not very important. So it doesn't seem important if people just go at it, well, that's not important.
Right. Well, I know if I walk into a business place and the people are just kind of sitting there and they're just like, you know, there's not much energy. What the impression you get from that is this is not a top flight organization. People have to convey.
There's not much going on there.
Right. Right. Or they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care. So, all right. Admitting mistakes. Hey, instead of blaming, which is another part of the corporate world, pointing fingers, just instead admit mistakes. Say, hey, it's my problem. Let me correct it. I'll do what I can to make this right. So these are important parts of an assistant's role. So we start off with what I had asked you right in the beginning, Josh.
That's right. We're meeting Roseanne Badowski, the executive assistant to Jack Welch at General Electric for 13 years. And while she was there, she learned many intense lessons about managing her boss.
I like that word intense because that guy was very intense. I mean, he was – you didn't dare fool around. Boy, he was efficiency.
Well, no, and I think they get to that level. Every minute counts.
Right.
There's no time to waste, and so that's why it's so intense. But what about this term managing her manager? What's up with that?
Well, it's an interesting term, this idea of you have a boss who is your manager, and how do you relate to them? How do you work efficiently and make sure that you work together as a team?
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, she is at the executive assistant. I know you've had good ones and bad ones, Doris. It's the idea of that person making you a better manager.
Well, and also they have to help that person manage their time. Mm-hmm. They'll remind them there's certain things they have to get done, and they will see that they get those things done that are important. So they have to do it in a very good way. But they help manage the manager's time so that he does get the things done that need to be done.
Yeah, it's a real reversal of thinking because most people working in companies just think of themselves as an employee, and they don't really take a couple of terms I thought of throughout this is, one, ownership. A lot of times employees don't take ownership. They don't feel like they've got a stake in the company. They just feel like, well, I'm here trading my time for a wage. Whereas you can see here, Roseanne Badowski took ownership in her role and became very involved. Well, she did a pretty good job, right?
And she had to, because he is one of the toughest. And in fact, it says Fortune magazine named him one of the toughest bosses in America.
Toughest
bosses?
That would be scary, wouldn't it?
Doesn't sound like a lot of fun, right? No. Well, why would they say that?
Well, he certainly fired a lot of people, and he didn't stand for non-performing managers.
Yeah. Okay. So there were a lot of people during Jack Welch's tenure at General Electric that were laid off, lost jobs. So now I have to say this 10 toughest bosses things, it's kind of arbitrary and subjective. So it's just – but he has a reputation of being a hard boss.
Bill, do you know, I read that he fired the lower 10% of his managers every year. Now, right. That wouldn't give you much sense of security. You know, maybe I'm going to get fired. I don't know.
No.
That's too tough for me.
It was a grade given every year on your performance. Mm. And your grade came from not only your bosses, but also the people who worked for you.
Right.
So they did 360 reviews.
Right.
And at the end, yeah, those who got A's got promoted, and those who got F's got shown the door.
Yeah. Okay.
That's really tough.
Well, it sounds very stressful. All right. Well, Roseanne Badowski did such a good job with him that he actually took her with him, we see, as his principal lieutenant, or again, that's another term for executive assistant, and chief of staff when he went to do what, Doris?
Well, he started a private consulting firm, and of course, everybody knew he was successful, so he could probably make a lot of money consulting with other businessmen.
Right, certainly. And he has several books to his credit as far as writing that. That was all part of his being the CEO and everything, part of
right.
his writing the books and becoming a leader in industry.
Oh, yeah. He worked his retirement PR campaign incredibly, mm-hmm. where his successors, if you remember, had to compete for the job, and there were three guys that were supposedly going to take his job, and which right. one was it? And he went on some big retirement tour and teed it all up for him to have this long career post-retirement giving yeah. speeches and writing books.
And they make a lot of money doing all of this stuff, the consulting,
that's
speeches.
True. That's
Doris
right.
could be doing it now, too,
yeah.
out
know.
There giving
I'm
speeches.
I'm not tough enough.
The toughest boss in Taiwan.
I'm not tough enough, you know. Actually, because, you know, sometimes he would just, you know, close factories and reduce payrolls. And, you know, I think when these bosses that have all this money when times are tough, they should reduce their own payroll first. Mm. They don't.
No.
I mean, they just cut everybody else's. What about cutting your own salary? I don't think I'm tough enough.
All right. Well, fortunately, this article is not about Jack Welch. It's about Roseanne Badowski. And so we move further into her story there in line, looks like 8. And she was at GE for more than 25 years. And what did she learn while she was there?
Well, she learned some very important things. They call it crucial techniques. These are so important. If you can't do this, you won't be doing a good job. First, she had to learn about solving problems. That's mm-hmm. one of the main things. Every day there's new problems. And you have to learn how to find out what is the problem and then solve it. What mm-hmm. else did she learn?
Well, she also had to develop opportunities and navigate successfully through the work week. Mm-hmm. So when you navigate something, it's almost like you're looking at a map and pointing out the right way to go. And in terms of where the company was headed and what employees and partners and other companies wanted Jack Welch's time, she had to navigate those opportunities successfully.
Well, I think in a sense it's talking about the prioritizing there, because you navigate successfully through the work week means you find out, okay, this is important, I have to change it and not do this one. So to keep prioritizing every day. Number one should be this, but tomorrow you have to change it. So she kept his schedule going, so he did the most important things. Don't you think, Bill?
Oh, I think that's right, Doris, and prioritizing is so key, because I know just watching you each week, you have 100 opportunities to meet people or go somewhere, have this presentation. And, yeah, you would like to do them all, but you can't. And so your assistants need to help determine what is the most important and which ones we have to say no to.
And that's
just knowing how to say no
is
key. Now, throughout her book, Managing Up, she offers what?
Well, many ways that managers can build effective working partnerships. And that's really what it sounded like she built with Mr. Welch, was in a way to work effectively together, not as equals necessarily, but partners in the business.
One thing I think is good is that this book, I haven't read it, we just read the review on it, but it says she uses straightforward language. In other words, she says it simply. She doesn't use big, what we say, highfalutin terms. She doesn't use technical things. She just says it like it is, down to earth. And that's why I think the book would be interesting for a lot of our people to read.
Right. Straightforward, very candid language, and also colorful examples of how they work for her. So she gives examples, in this instance, and how she handled it, real-life examples. And so that's why I think this book is actually going to be even more attractive to many of our listeners and readers than some of the other books we've done about, you know, CEOs and things.
Maybe even more than Jack Welch's. Who knows?
I think so.
Could be.
Because normally what happens with those CEO books, and maybe Josh has seen this too, a lot of these CEO books, they talk about these generic ideas, and they're these big, broad, sweeping terms, whereas most people are dealing with details of the day.
That's right. And often they don't want to share colorful examples because it might make them look bad, and they certainly don't want to be straightforward.
Right.
So they're mostly writing almost like business school case studies.
So this might be good.
As opposed to anything interesting.
You think?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think so. Okay, let's have our second reading for today.
Maintain energy and maximize efficiency. Some of the issues Badowski covers in her book include maintaining energy through a rough day, making the right decision with fairness, admitting and forgiving mistakes, limiting impatience, and even creating time where there is never enough. The helpful tips and techniques she offers in Managing Up explore the most important aspects of working with the boss to help him or her maximize efficiency and prepare for the important questions and situations that an executive faces while driving an organization. Although she started as a secretary and continued to perform many of the same functions, answering the phone, placing calls, taking shorthand, and typing, while working for Welch at GE, she also excelled as the quintessential executive assistant who served as a project manager, coordinator, communicator, and troubleshooter. She writes that we are all managers as well as secretaries, and we should all act in a secretarial fashion at times, rolling up our sleeves and doing the mundane tasks that make grand business strategies work.
Okay, Bill Quinn here with Doris Brohm and Josh Mooney, our second reading here on our first day of lessons from Jack Welch's executive assistant. Her name is Roseanne Badowski, and she's written a book on managing up, not just managing herself and her own schedule, but managing her manager, Jack Welch at GE. This section starts out by saying, maintain energy and maximize efficiency. And what are some of the issues that she covers in her book, Doris?
Well, she says that you have to really keep up your energy. Now, some people start out, this is a good day, a new day, and about 3 o'clock, when is it time to quit? But, you know, you have to keep it up throughout the day. Mm-hmm. I see people who are much younger than me, at about 5 o'clock, they'll say, I'm so tired. I said, tired? It's only 5 o'clock. It's still early, you know. You've got to keep that energy up. Don't let it down. Keep it up throughout the day, even into the evening. I mean, after all, life is something to live, and that's what she does.
That's why, I'll tell you what you do outside as far as getting exercise, instead of just sitting watching TV all night, be like Josh, go run 8 miles at night. Right?
I did it last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
go swimming.
Go scuba diving. Ride your bike. I like to go ride my bicycle. The importance of that is by having good energy. I know Josh is the same, whether it's 8 a.m. or 5 p.m. right? Yeah. And I don't go up to Josh's desk, and he's not like almost falling asleep at his desk at 5 o'clock.
Boy, I'd better not catch him doing that.
So that's why it's so important to take care of our body.
Too much
absolutely.
To do, right? But also, Bill, it says here you got to make the right decisions with fairness.
Yes.
Now, sometimes people don't think what you're doing is fair, but you have to do what you think is fair. The thing is that some managers know something's not fair and they still do it. So at least be as fair as you can. Nobody is perfect in being fair.
Yeah.
And if you're wrong, then you just say, okay, well, I'm sorry I made a mistake, and don't worry about it.
Right. And also forgiving mistakes, realizing, hey, everybody makes mistakes. What are we about limit here?
Well, limiting impatience, it says. I mean, you think about a CEO's job. There are a lot of problems that come across a CEO's desk. And there's certainly frustrations. We're in the people business, meaning we work with lots of people that we manage or that report to us. And it's easy to get frustrated. And the executive assistant needs to not – you know, be fake, but certainly keep a positive attitude to work effectively in that high-stress environment.
Well, it also says you have to create time when there's never enough. Sometimes people will come to see me. They came all the way from China or from New York or London, and people will say, oh, Doris is too busy to see them. No, let's create time. There's no time, but we'll make time.
Mm-hmm.
If something's important, put it into your schedule and shuffle other things around. You have to learn how to create time when there's not enough time, and do the things that are important. Don't say there's not enough time.
No.
Your time should not be the one that rules you. It should be a servant. It's not your slave master.
Yep. Yeah. Now, I've noticed a couple things as far as creating time. One thing you do is you actually combine a lot of things and people, which actually you're able to bring people together, Doris. So there's all sorts of flexibilities we need in our schedule to help create time, make the most of it. Now, next paragraph, the helpful tips and techniques she offers in managing up, they explore what?
Well, the most important aspects of working with a boss to help that person maximize their efficiency. And that was in the title here of this section, this idea of efficiency, meaning making the most of your time, being productive with the amount of time that the CEO has been given.
And one way she can do that is preparing things for them. Let's say he's going to talk to somebody, so she can get the files on that person and give them to him and bring him up. And she can get him ready, and that will help him maximize his time.
Right, and that requires an alert assistant that can really identify potential areas that her boss or his boss needs information on. There's no way the boss can prepare for everything.
No.
No.
So the assistant needs to help out in that.
And it's a tough job because you want them to be a detailed person, right, Doris, to manage the details, but they also have to keep the big picture in mind.
That's right.
To know really, you know, what is keeping the CEO up at night and what are the factors weighing most on that person's mind.
Right, right. What's important with this business, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, although she started as a secretary and continued to perform many of the same functions, we talk about some of those functions in this sentence.
Oh, yeah. They're just things like a secretary answers the phones and calls somebody and makes appointments, short keeping typing. That's kind of what they usually do, but she did more than that.
All right. What was that?
Well, she excelled as the quintessential executive assistant, serving as roles you might not expect, project manager, coordinator, communicator, and my favorite, troubleshooter.
Oh, okay. Troubleshooter.
Well, that's just taking care of the problems head on. Someone who solves maybe complex or complicated problems.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't leave everything up to him. She would say, well, now he needs this. Now you take care of it. And she'd get it ready. Or he could probably tell her, I need to have this done so you see that those people get their reports in. So he delegated things to her where she had the authority to do it. And I think I often do that with some of our secretaries, that they can say, now you get all these people ready and get the project ready, then we can talk about it. Don't just the secretary just say call people up.
No.
Have her do something.
You've had very successful assistants manage whole projects for you.
Well, and I think also what she had to do is handle a lot of the details, make decisions on a lot of the small details.
Right.
There's no need to burden, whether it's Jack Welch or Doris Brohm, with the small details.
Just remember that, Bill. You go ahead and do it.
Well, yeah. It's the smart executive assistant knows when to step in and say yes, no, or not, and not burden their boss with information that, you know, they've got other things, that more important things to think about.
Well, Bill, I think you agree with that when she says down here in line 29, all managers as well as secretaries, you know, they all have to roll up their sleeves and work. So It's kind of the same. It doesn't matter if you're the boss or we're all together in this, really.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Roll up the sleeves.
Well, it just means jump into something, literally to prepare for hard work by unbuttoning the cuffs at your wrist and rolling up your sleeves. You're ready to get dirty.
Okay, then also one other word in that sentence, mundane tasks, Doris.
They could be sort of ordinary or boring things, the things that you have to do all the time. Like, for instance, we say if you're in that family, sometimes you have to wash the dishes. That's one of the mundane, but somebody has to do it. You have to take turns and help. The mother doesn't have to do it all.
Yeah. Now, one word that came up earlier, I think, Josh, you had mentioned gatekeeper. Mm-hmm. And when I was in business, too, we actually used that quite a bit for the executive assistants. I was in sales. I knew you had to do a lot of sales. We had trouble getting through that gatekeeper, right?
Oh, yeah. They would guard their boss's schedule like, you know, like it's a palace.
Or even talk to the person, because a lot of times we would make phone calls and say, may I speak with Mr. Schmedley? And, of course, the assistant's job is to say no. The assistant's job is actually to determine whether or not me, the phone caller, should talk to her boss. And in most cases, they say no. They usually say, oh, well, Mr. Schmedley's in a meeting right now.
That's the famous white lie that I read Ms. Badowski
said. Well,
actually,
you might have been in a meeting because bosses are always in meetings. You're always meeting with somebody, so that's not really a lie. But, you know, sometimes they need to be interrupted.
No, he was on the golf course. That's why it was a lie.
Well, that was a little different.
He's unavailable right now. So
call you back.
And that's just part of the business world. So that's why I'm saying there's a lot to learn from this Roseanne Badowski, so I can really appreciate the book that she wrote. And I think you too, listeners and readers, can get a lot from this to help you out on your day-to-day functioning at your job. So thanks for joining us here for day one of Lessons from Jack Welch's Executive Assistant. We'll see you tomorrow. Till then, this is Bill,
Josh,
and Doris
saying goodbye.